Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to The Art Detective with me, Dr. Yanina Ramirez. I'm an Oxford art historian, a writer and a broadcaster. But for the purposes of this podcast, I'm your chief investigator of images. I am very delighted to be in central London, right near to the British Museum, which is heaving today. And I'm with Shrabani Basu, who I'm delighted to meet up with. Journalist and most importantly writer of the most exceptional book. Tell me about this book.
Thank you, Anina. That was an amazing introduction. It's great to be here, sitting opposite the British Museum. The book is actually it's about Victoria and Abdul. So Victoria being Queen Victoria, naturally, and Abdul is a clerk from Agra Jail. He's all of 24 years old, and he is sent to her as a present for her golden jubilee. You know, when you are the Queen of England, you get presents like that.
He's a lovely present. This book came out, but it's now influenced a film. There's going to be a film with Dame Judi Dench playing Victoria. So that's all very, very exciting. And I thought it would be wonderful to do an art detective together because recently I was at Osborne House on the Isle of Wight, and there is this beautiful portrait of Abdul. And so tell us a little bit about it, because this was your decision for what you wanted to talk about today.
Absolutely. This portrait is what started me off, because I went to Osborne House, and they have this Indian corridor, as you've seen. So I was walking down this Indian corridor. At this stage, all I knew was that Queen Victoria loved her curries, and she had some Indian servants who cooked these for her. It was just a bit of trivia I'd filed away for an earlier book. And then I saw this portrait of Abdul Karim, and it's painted by the Austrian artist Rudolf Svoboda. And he is painted, as we can see, in red, cream, gold, gorgeous turban with, you know, dull gold. And he's holding a book and looking sideways. And to me, this portrait did not look like one of a servant. It was painted. It was a commissioned painting. It was made so that he would look like, in India, what we call a nawab or a nobleman. So that's what he looked like. So it intrigued me. And so that was the starting point, really. And then I went around Osborne House and I saw the other art objects, and there were busts, there was another portrait, and there were lots of photographs of him, including one of his in her dressing room, just below John Brown, and that nailed it.
Wow. So that sowed the seed of what is going on in this relationship. Why is he being painted in this way?
Exactly.
I mean, it's painted in 1888, isn't it? And it's commemorating a moment when actually he has been elevated up from the rank of servant,
exactly.
So he comes over as a servant when he's 24. Do you want to explain a bit about what happens there? Because he's a gift.
So he is a gift. Well, it's not just him. It's two of them who've been chosen. So there's Muhammad Baksh and there's Abdul Karim. And Abdul Karim is actually not a servant in India. He is a clerk in Agra Jail. So he's a little educated and he's never done menial work. He has no idea what it's for. He thinks he's being sent as an orderly, and he thinks it's something very, you know, high elevated. And then he finds he's waiting at table. But the only thing is there. I mean, the only reason to send them was to dress them up gorgeously, you know, reds and creams and gorgeous turbans. And they would stand behind Queen Victoria and just represent her Indian empire. So it was, you know, it was very decorative at this stage. But very quickly, she liked Abdul Karim, the young, handsome, tall.
And he is handsome. I mean, he is obviously very, very striking looking. And the way that he's being presented in all this,
exactly.
this glory. I mean, she is Empress of India and at this stage, but has never been to India, has
no,
she?
No.
So she has no knowledge of this empire. But there is a desire to understand the glamour of it, I suppose. The fact it's so exotic.
Absolutely. I mean, this is her jewel in the crown. Mm. And she longs to go to India, but she can't because, it takes 6 weeks and the travel time is too long. But Abdul comes to her. You know, she can't go to India. India comes to her in the form of Abdul Karim.
Amazing.
And he talks to her. Excuse me. He talks to her about India. He tells her about his home city of Agra, which is the home, as we know, of the Taj Mahal, the most romantic monument in the world. He tells her about the Taj Mahal. He tells her how, you know, Shah Jahan, the Mughal emperor, built it for his wife who died in childbirth, and that, you know, he is lying next to her now in this mausoleum to love, how the light filters through these beautiful carvings. And she's entranced. She is suddenly traveling in India with Abdul Karim. And because he's an ordinary man, he's a commoner, he gives her the sense of the real Agra, the heat and dust of the city, not the version she gets from her administrators and her viceroys. You know, this is the unedited, this is the real thing. And she loves it.
Because this, I suppose this strikes me, it's a very touching story. We know about Brown and Victoria's relationship, and then after Albert's death, you know, she grieves so completely, but there are these favourites that do come in.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is something that I see in the pre-Raphaelite paintings, in a lot of Victorian art imagery, and indeed even in this portrait, there's a romanticism, there's a strong romantic strain in Victoria, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. She's passionate. Mm. Her journals are so frank. It's like four pages after her first night with Albert. And this is amazing. I mean, we think of Victoria and the prudery associated with, you know, Victorian times. Clearly not for her.
We think about it as this time of everybody wearing black and everything's dour and everything's serious. But no, she's passionate, she's romantic. And Karim is bringing that out, isn't he?
He is, absolutely. I mean, he must have been very charming. We know that he had a very soft voice. She describes him and says he's, you know, fine, fair countenance, serious looking, etc. So we get a feel of what he looked like, what she thought of him, and the very fact that she chooses him over the other servant, poor Muhammad Bakht, who she describes as short and smiling. Bless him, but he remains a servant, you know, and Abdul Karim is quickly, rapidly promoted, and he's given this title of the Munshi.
Right, so we need to explore this, because that is actually the title of this painting, isn't it?
Exactly. So the Munshi means a teacher, and this is because Queen Victoria wants to learn Urdu. She wants to complete her Indian experience.
This is important, because she's elderly at this stage, isn't
she?
How old is she at this
stage? She's 68.
Good grief. And at this stage, she decides she wants to learn Urdu. That is important, isn't it?
Very important. I think it's incredible. It's something people don't know.
Yeah.
And she goes to Abdul Karim. So she's already tasted the curry. She's heard the stories. He's cooked her a curry.
Falling in love through food. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. The way to a woman's heart. And he's told her about the spices. He's told her everything. And now the next stage for her is learn the language.
Gosh.
So Abdul Karim has extra English lessons and she has Urdu lessons. And she's learning the script, which is quite difficult.
Well, it's also reverse, isn't it?
Exactly.
I saw some samples where she's had a go at writing.
Yeah,
that must be so counterintuitive for her to actually learn to write backwards and to write in a different script and to learn a new language
at
68 at this stage.
Yeah. It is amazing and, you know, full of admiration for her because she actually takes her lessons every day. She's a very good pupil. And, you know, he's a good teacher. So I've seen these 13 volumes, which are in Windsor Castle. And they'd never been opened in the past.
No.
Because Western biographers never referred to it,
Oh, my goodness.
It's in Urdu. They wouldn't have understood. I can understand because he writes in Roman. I can't read the script, but I can, I can understand Urdu.
Yes.
I grew up in Delhi. The language is something that's, you know, easy for me. And so these 13 years, these journals spoke to me of their relationship. because this is the space when nobody's disturbing them.
Yeah, two people learning together and intently dedicated to that learning experience.
Absolutely. So we have these entries from onboard Victoria and Albert. So she's taking her journals on holiday. She's having lessons when she's in south of France or in Florence. She is in a summer house in Balmoral.
Well, this is intriguing, isn't there? Because they do go to the summer house in Balmoral where she used to go with Brown. And they spend a night together, don't they?
That is this cottage, which is on the loch. It's called Loch Meek.
Yeah.
It's an 8-hour walk. I went there. It's amazing.
Really?
It is so lonely and so desolate and so beautiful. And she used to go there with John Brown. And we know she took Abdul Karim because of the gossip in the court. So her household are gossiping, saying that, oh, she's off to Glass Al Shiel. She said she would never go there after John Brown. And she's gone there with Abdul Karim.
Wow. And I mean, we have to... obviously, there's going to be room for speculation about the intensity of their relationship. But there is a huge age gap. Mm-hmm. Abdul is married as well, isn't he? And his wife and daughter come over... No, not
his mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law. Wife and mother-in-law come over to the court, don't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to limit the speculation. But but the intensity of their friendship and certainly... The fact that he is a favourite of hers, that that causes problems, doesn't it?
Oh, huge problems. They hate him, absolutely hate him. And you can see it in their private letters, which I access, because they call the Indians the Black Brigade. They are outright racist. There is no other way of, you know, defining it. Plus, added to the racism is class snobbery. He's a commoner.
There you go.
He's not even an Indian prince with the regulatory pearls and, you know, all the things of the court, but he's a commoner and they hate him. They hate the way she's spending time with him. She's giving him presents. She's
trying to get him land
titles.
As well.
She gives
titles
him
and money,
titles,
yeah.
Land, everything. Everything's on. She builds him a cottage in Balmoral and calls it Karim Cottage.
No, I didn't know that.
It is still there in Balmoral. He's left his mark there.
That's amazing. No, I mean, I think the thing is as well that there's reports, isn't there, that he's quite arrogant and the way that he interacts with the court, he doesn't want to be treated as a servant. He doesn't want to be sat with the servants. He wants to be sat with the members of the household.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an element here, isn't there, that if anyone else was doing that, yes, there'd be murmurings. Mm-hmm. But the fact of his race, that is the thing, isn't it?
There is
open racism in this
court. Of course, and snobbery, class snobbery. Mm. And Victoria calls them out on it, actually. She sends them memos saying, you know, this is all race and class snobbery, and
really, she
says that, and you know, she also says you're not to use the word black. So she is way ahead of her times and relating to people without any prejudice, and that really, really impressed me. I learned so much about,
come out well from your research.
Very well, very well. When I started out, she was, you know, Queen Victoria representing empire, very formidable. And growing up in India, you see these big statues, you know, and it's like the seizure of the Kohinoor and the crushing of the mutiny. And she symbolizes all these. And then I started researching her and I found that she was, you know, she loved India so much. She was really attached to India. She wanted to go. I mean, there's this lovely story about how she really wants to eat an Indian mango. And she could never, bless her, ever get a mango because by the time they would send it to her, it would go off.
Oh, how tragic.
And,
waiting for that mango to arrival.
Year after year, every summer. And, you know, it's these little moving stories that I love. And, you know, I love mangoes myself. And now they're so easily available in all the Indian shops here. And you just felt, oh, poor thing.
But she loved that. I think this idea that Abdul could bring so much of India to her is fascinating. And actually, just looking back at the portrait as well, the way that he's been painted... Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that this particular artist was very well renowned for being able to depict gold, pearls, jewels. That's why he was used for royal portraits.
Right.
But there is a lushness and a colour that's coming through in this that is exotic, it is unusual, but it's being emphasised that he is grand and he is, as you say, of noble stature.
I mean, holding the book,
yeah,
that itself says a lot. Oh, why would they give him a book otherwise? You know, it just shows he's educated.
Educated.
It's making a point. He's her teacher. He's got a book in his hand.
Absolutely, he's her teacher. But there's also, I mean, it's wonderfully realistic. We've got, there's photos that survive, aren't there, of Abdul. And it's very close to his likeness.
It is, it is. He's painted dark. We can see he's dark-skinned. And, you know, there's no attempt to sort of cover that up or anything. It's very much looks like him.
But is it, because I find this quite unusual in that case, because this same painter painted Victoria's family and members of the court. To paint him, she commissioned this, didn't she?
She
asked for this to be painted. And again, that must have been a bit of an odd thing within the court, no?
Well, the thing is, he was actually commissioned to paint other Indians. So what happened in 1886, a year before her Golden Jubilee, was the Colonial and India exhibition, which took place here in London. And a lot of artisans were brought over from India. And they were from Agra, they were potters, they were carpet makers. And Queen Victoria was so interested in them, she asked Swoboda to paint them. So his paintings of the ordinary people, painted in, you know, ordinarily as they are there in Osborne House as well.
Oh, gosh, you see, I missed a lot of it. But that's something that's always struck me about Osborne House, is what a celebration of India it is, actually.
It is.
Because there's so much on display.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's a strange place, Osborne House, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because it was her retreat in many ways, but she spent so much time there. And it was where she used to invite a lot of her female friends and advisors, wasn't it? And then there are these reports of Abdul's family, the women from Abdul's family, coming over. How was that met, do you think, the fact that they came to Osborne House?
Well, they had a house, a lovely house called Arthur Cottage, just outside the gates, as you can see it still.
Yeah.
And he was a good Indian. He was given, he extended his house. So that original house has been extended now. And he had a, you know, he was given all the money he needed to extend it, to do whatever he wanted. So he really made it a beautiful place, I believe.
Gosh.
It's now, I think, a private house there. But the women would come, and she would bring everybody who visited her to call to their cottage.
Really?
Always. So there's so many entries in the diary saying, taking, you know, Princess Sophie to go see the Munshi's wife. And they would just call for tea all the time.
Oh, it's a lovely friendship. But he travelled with her as well, didn't he? So
yes.
So there's reports about him going to Italy, is it?
Italy. He went to Florence. He went, and every year, to the south of France, because she loved going to Nice. He travelled everywhere with her. He was given his own room. And in his diary, which I found in Karachi, he has his photographs that I have a lovely room. And he's got a photograph sitting there. He was... It did go to his head.
Because this is something else about the sort of person that he must have been. Because, I mean, you've mentioned that Victoria comes through so richly mm-hmm. from the records. How does he come through?
Well, you know, he's 24 when he arrives. He didn't ask for this job. They sent him. When he reaches, he realizes that it's menial work. And his ego is hurt. He wants to go back. He actually writes, "I'd like to go back. I've never done this sort of job."
Gosh.
And she writes to him. And this letter is really important. It was there in his diary, a copy. And she says, "No, I'd like you to stay on. I enjoy your company."
Gosh.
This is the Empress of India. He's a clerk in Agra jail. And it's amazing that, you know, she wants him to stay. And she says, "I'd like you to teach me Hindustani. I want to learn Hindustani." And then she says, "If you have to go, do stay till the end of the year and do come back and visit." And it's a really, it's like a young teenager writing to somebody, you know, and saying, "Please stay on.
Please stay on." Again, I mean, we've got, what have we got? We've got a 44-year age gap at this stage, something like that. 46-year age
68
gap.
68 and 24,
good
yes.
grief. But there is... there is a sense in which his family then get quite excited about this relationship.
Yeah.
Do they exploit the relationship?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He brings his father, who's invited to go visit. His father is, it's quite interesting. His father is the only one who's allowed to smoke a hookah, which is the water pipe, the mm-hmm. shisha, in Windsor Castle.
No.
So he is given permission. He's taken on a tour of the hospitals in Edinburgh. And we know all this because obviously the household are really... catty about
they're
it.
Not happy about
they're not
this.
They
no.
just say, you know, he's been given the royal tour and wish he'd go back. And then when he visits the jail, they said wish he'd be kept back in the jail. So they're really, really nasty.
Wow.
Yeah, the comments are so caustic, you know.
And these are coming from all sides.
This is
comments.
Coming from the households. It's her personal physician.
Really?
Whose records are accessed. He's really miffed with this with this tour of Edinburgh because he's Scottish. He's a Scottish doctor and he says, you know, why is this man being given so much importance?
Gosh.
So he hates him. But it obviously smacks of racism. There's a lady in waiting who says she shudders every time he walks past and he's repulsive. If he was that repulsive, whatever, you know, repulsive is subjective, but Queen Victoria wouldn't be spending hours and hours with him.
That's outrageous. And these are on record as well. These are things that have been written down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're
good grief. But again, it's quite radical to see how Victoria deals with it all because she not only does it obviously not impact her, but she is encouraging others within her court to think differently.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think she's quite ahead of everyone in that respect?
Totally. I think she was way ahead of her times. I mean, if you think about it, there's a young Muslim man who is close, who is at the heart of the monarchy at a time when the empire is at its height. And it's never happened before, and it's never happened since.
No.
You know, I mean, empire's gone, but you don't have somebody, you know, colour, as it were, within a very important, you know, position.
But it's the intimacy of the position as well, isn't it? Because it's all very well if that was a diplomatic role or if there was some sort of, as you say, if he was an advisor on political matters, but it's the intimacy of it that's so unusual,
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
It's the friendship and the fact that she just stood by him the whole time. It's her household tried every trick in the book. They
really?
Accused, they accused him of robbery. They said he's a spy. They had him followed when he went to India. They couldn't nail anything on him.
Really?
And in sheer frustration, they said, "We're going to go on strike, collectively go on strike and resign if you take him to the south of France." And they send this lady to go tell Queen Victoria. And she flies into a temper and she throws everything on her desk. It's a great scene. We have the whole account in her doctor's journal. She throws everything on her desk down. So ink bottles, photo frames, books, journals, pens crashing down. And poor Mrs. Phipps goes charging in tears. And of course, everybody, nobody resigns. I love this story. And then everybody goes to the south of France and the Gazette mentions that Abdul Karim is very much there.
Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. So this, I mean, there's such... Oh, to me, there's just such passion at the heart of this story.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's so, so loyal that she won't entertain all of that.
Yeah.
So they were against accusations of robbery, accusations of being a spy.
Everything.
And then this sort of resistance, active resistance from her people.
And actually what appeals about Queen Victoria is she's a very feisty woman. Mm. And I think she enjoys a fight as well. So she enjoys taking them on. She enjoys taking her family, her son, her daughters. She enjoys taking on the households and giving them a piece of her mind. And
so she's always provoking it. And it's always like, nobody likes the fact that he's my nearest and dearest, so I'm going to keep him even closer.
Exactly. And there is this classic letter which I absolutely love. It's written to Bertie, who's the Prince of Wales, her son. And they have a really contentious relationship. So she writes to Bertie, because he's obviously been rude to the Munchie, and she says, "You will be courteous to the Munchie." And then she CCs the Munchie.
Wow.
So this is the two of them versus Bertie. And, you know, you can see why Bertie hated the Munchie. It's like his mother and this man, you know, against him.
At that stage as well.
Making fun of him.
Younger than her son.
Yeah. And he's just waiting and waiting to become king. And, you know, both of them are having a laugh at him. So you feel a bit sorry for Bertie.
Oh, my goodness. So, because that's the other thing. So her children aren't particularly on board with this, are they?
Not at all. And very often they're not on board with her because she's always clashing with her children. So she keeps complaining about troublesome children. And she complains to Abdul, you know. He's there for her to vent.
So he's a confidant as well.
Totally.
And in these 13 volumes that you've looked at then, these books that she was... These are volumes of her own notes, are they? Mm-hmm. And it's from that you can get a lot of extra insight into what they're talking about, how they're interacting.
Totally. And because this is their exercise, you know, literally the Hindustani lessons taking place. And he's a pretty good teacher, so it's like he'll write a line in Urdu, in the Urdu script, and then he'll translate it in English. And then he'll write the Urdu in Roman so she can read it out. And then she has to copy all these.
Wow.
So what I found really interesting is when it starts out and he's translating it, his English is really bad. Uh-huh. So it's like, I down, came, out, went, you know, that sort of stuff. And she corrects it when she does her translating.
Oh, no.
And her Urdu is all sprawly because she's just learning. By the end of the 13th volume, his English is perfect. And her Urdu, she's just writing a half a page without any guidance.
Really?
Yeah.
My goodness. So they've grown in that way.
Yeah. And that, you know, all these little things, they just bring out the relationship. They were teaching each other. I love the way she was correcting his English. Yes. And so he's learning from that as well. He was a quick learner, obviously.
I think this is, again, about that sort of whole cultural exchange that's going on. Because they're exchanging each other's languages.
Yeah.
They're exchanging... I mean, there's gift exchange, because, I mean, Victoria is exposed to India in that respect, and he is receiving English gifts from her.
Of course.
But then there's this whole world of food, of music, of stories, and of course of the dress and the whole feel
of
this nation.
She's totally... And in Osborne House, when she creates the Darbar room, which is this Indian room she creates...
It's an amazing space, isn't it?
It is. And she is now living her role as Empress of India. This room is used for banquets. She sits there. The curries are cooked every day in the kitchen. She lays out the curry. She speaks in Hindustani, you know, to visiting Indian royalty. And, you know, she's like at the top of her game.
But she's embraced it so fully. And I think that's again, interesting, and it does sort of twist our idea of empire around slightly, doesn't it? That she's almost longing for that place.
Yeah.
And that she maybe is honouring it and respecting it. Is that something that you feel?
Well, she represents empire. There's no getting away from that.
I know, and it's not, I mean, it is. It's a horrible sort of concept.
It's not that she does not, she's not a revolutionary. No, she's not a revolutionary. She's not giving back that Kohinoor. You know, she's wearing it with pride.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's all for empire. But at the same time, she loves India, and there's no getting away from that. So it's a contradictory, you know, with India, but she loves India, and she is there as empress. There's no getting away from that.
Well, this is why I like the research we're doing, because I think it adds dimension to this topic, doesn't it? Because it isn't just a simple answer.
It's not a black and white.
No.
And also it's important that, because she's a symbolic head of state, you know, the administration carries on differently. They're not listening to what she's saying. She wants to know about riots, She starts taking a keen interest in Indian politics, actually, really? And she writes to the Viceroy. She's a great letter writer, writes four times a day, and then follows it up with telegrams. So she wants to know why there are riots, what they're doing about it, and they're really intrigued. How does she know about riots in Agra? And then they say, well, obviously, they know how, you know. There's somebody right there telling her all about it. Yeah.
Gosh.
So.
But I think, again, this is there is a romance to this story, but there's a realism to it as well, that this is something mm-hmm. that is affecting a part of her empire. Mm-hmm. And he actually returns back to Agra, doesn't he, after she dies. What is the legacy of their relationship?
Well, they come down on him like a
do they?
Ton of bricks as soon as she dies. They've just held on till then because they can't do anything. And as soon as she dies, they burn all the letters. They raid his house. And this is Bertie's orders. He is paranoid of anything coming out about that his mother might have written. And they raid his house hours after her funeral, just a few hours, dawn raid, get all the letters out and burn it outside his house. It's heartless, absolutely heartless. And then because we know that the wife is weeping, he's weeping, and they're all begging that some of these are just Christmas cards. And she signed in Urdu, and she signs them, your loving friend, and puts little crosses on them. And she writes, signs in Urdu, signs, some are signed, your loving mother. And they just burn everything heartlessly. And then, of course, he's told to leave the country.
Wow.
So he's deported. And not just him, all the Indians who've come along, all this, she had a little coterie of Indian servants, they're all deported. And suddenly all the colour, in fact, one of the ladies in waiting, who were probably all horrid to him before, say that all the colour is gone from the court, no more turbans, no more curries in the kitchen, no more madness. These Indians are causing a lot of havoc all the time. There were chickens running around Windsor Castle. Because they had to have halal meat, so they would slaughter their livestock themselves, and you know, there were
chickens running around Windsor Castle. I love it. So, wow, again, that's something really fascinating.
And
to
suddenly
think.
They've gone.
To think, yeah, that suddenly it's all that dimension that was within the court is gone.
It's gone.
And what happens to him when he gets back to India then?
Well, he dies within a few years. He dies in 8 years. So again, my theory, obviously this is just my theory, is that he was heartbroken. When you're treated like a criminal, when you've lived that level of high life, you've been so close to the Queen and spent 13 years in this position, and then you're treated like a criminal and your things are burnt, you know. He died within 8 years. He was 46, and that's it. He had no children.
Wow. So that, oh my goodness, what a story. And I'm so excited to hear all of this. And I know there's a lot more I need to go back and read about. But this painting has been an amazing gateway. I find it very moving. I find it very noble, very... just it transports me, actually, mm-hmm. and the place where it's located in Osborne House as well, the whole building, the setup.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful insight into Victoria and her life. But thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you. Lovely to talk.
Oh,
you know,
give the title of the book again, because so people
can
get it.
It's called Victoria and Abdul.
Excellent. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We've got some more exciting Art Detective podcasts coming up. Do subscribe to the podcast by going to historyhit.com/artdetective. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm Dr. Yanina Ramirez. Thank you, everybody, and goodbye.